You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan. Tony intern is begging me to touch on the NHL playoffs. Vegas!
Yeah.
In the Stanley Cup Finals. What's the other team? Tampa and Winnipeg? Is that one? Capitals?
Yeah, Caps.
What's the series? Who's winning? Who's leading?
3-2, Winnipeg.
Is the game tonight?
Yeah.
Okay.
7 o'clock.
What are you watching? Are you watching that or Eastern Conference Finals game number 4?
Definitely watching NHL.
Really?
Yeah. More entertaining.
You're not watching the Cavs, even up the series 2-2. Who you got? Throw that up there. Boston, Cleveland. Jordy intern at ESPN Radio Nola is going to give us updates on two other polls that we have up there as well. Coming up this hour, as we said, Alex Asaro is going to chime in on some of the action in college baseball, what some of these teams sort of have to do, and just kind of an outlook at some of these conference tournaments. We just spoke with Bryant Johnson of the Colonels. Wild 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday overall. It's great to hear the coaches at a wedding. Oh, we're in? Huh? Oh, boy. Okay, hold on. Call the team. We're leaving tomorrow. Got to go conference tournament play. The graph is over in Clearwater. The rain system that's out there in the Gulf that's been out there for, what, it's going on 2 weeks now? It's crazy. Joey, who likes to play a meteorologist as well as I do, back over in the LaRue studios. I think still it's there. Still out there. Still there. It's just dumping rain. Their game was supposed to be at 6 tomorrow against Houston. They've moved it up to noon Eastern, so 11 a.m. As well. So we'll touch with Todd as to what's going on there at 2:45. As he's a little upset, can't get in on the golf course when it's raining like that. I said, well, dude, the British Open's always in the rain. Get out there. Although I guess a little high wind and rain could also be there. Joey also saw something pop up on my phone this morning. There could be a system that could be dumping us some rain on Thursday or Friday. Friday was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I've seen scenarios.
Yeah. Oh, did you see what happened Friday? Thankfully, we got out of there a little bit before basically the quarter became a swimming pool.
My car would have flooded.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, about while we're driving, you know, when we get home and the rain's just coming down, and it was raining a little bit towards the end of our show there at Deuce McAllister's Little Sink Kitchen and Tap, but I got a text over the weekend from Jay Hardgrave, Joey, and he goes, whoa, that was fun. Just because water was just, I mean, I kept seeing on either Snap or Instagram or even on Twitter, people literally basically like swimming in the quarter. I mean, just... It was knee-high water in some places. It's crazy. I saw one place over in Jeff Highway got 4 inches in 45 minutes or something. I mean, that's just insane. 3.5 inches in 45 minutes. That's what it was. Which is crazy.
So when much you think for the new drainage pipes.
No, but there's nothing you can do. I don't know what kind of drainage you want when you have that much water that gets dumped that quickly. But... So, yeah, it's that time of the year. And, Joey, when is the official start of hurricane season? Isn't it the first week of June or something like
first
that?
First day of June.
Oh, first day of June. Well, there it is. It's around the corner when that takes place. No, are we? So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on the things out there. But anyway, so that's kind of having some things to do with the American Conference Tournament and why that game was moved up. We'll talk to Todd about that. Dino Hansen, 2:30. Did we learn anything from games 3 of the Eastern and Western Conference Finals? I just want a game. I want a game where, like, ooh, 2 minutes left, fourth quarter, still to be determined. Houston lost by 41 points yesterday.
Overrated.
Oh, here we go. Remember game 2? Steph Curry, something's wrong. Warriors, it could be in trouble. Then they go and win by 41, and this morning it's, I mean, you know, legacy for Chris Paul, who's yet to show up in a conference final game. James Harden over, I mean, it's crazy.
They're done for.
But you, I mean, when you lose by 41, it's. So we'll touch on that with him. Cody Warsham, 2:15. Billy Cannon passes away at 80, the LSU legend. We'll speak a little bit on that. And also the signing of Joe Burrow, which we brought up today in hour number one, and it's an opinion poll question. Again, it's the first time that I had some thoughts on it because it happened right after our show. And Marlon Fayard is going to come on and talk to us about it at 2:05. Again, a former Tiger National Champion. part of the LSU broadcast team. And what are you giggling at?
I'm giggling at your hair.
This is Jordan the intern hair. Did you really interrupt my little piece there just because you're looking at my hair?
You can't just make up hair like
this. I mean, that is a thick head of hair you got on. I thought this would be you if the hair was just kind of, you know, wet and
back
sticking
in,
up.
What, early 2000s?
It's sort of wrestling slash Jordan hair.
You get the white tips.
I am not tipping. I'm not frosting my hair. There's no frost tips.
I may or may not have done that back in
the day.
Yeah, I think you seem like the guy that would have done
it. Oh, really?
That.
Yeah. I frost-tipped my hair?
Yeah.
Moving on, on Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA. Because the whole Joe Burrow thing was interesting to me. Because, again, there's not a whole, you know, body of work to kind of judge. But, hey, bring him in. And I said, look, essentially it's kind of four things. Is it unfair to the quarterbacks that are there? The ones you recruited, I mean, Coach O was a part of the recruiting process with them. After last season, right, these are things you need to work on. During spring ball, they're the ones taking the snaps, getting the work in. They're the ones weightlifting. They're the ones trying to build rapport and continuity with that team, doing all that. And, you know, yeah, that's great. Here comes this new guy. And, again, I have a hard time believing that it's an open competition. Coach can say that, but a kid that's leaving one school because he may not win the starting job there is not coming to this one if he has to win the starting job here. Does that make sense? Now, again, he's former Mr. Ohio, 6'3", stats in high school, fantastic. Sat Ohio State. Again, just kind of, I don't like it. It's just, I understand why you do it, and I understand the reasoning behind it. It's about winning. I get it. Guys' jobs on the line, but that's what this was. This was a business decision. This was a business move. This was a move for Coach O to save his rear. I mean, that's what it comes across to me. And I think it's just a little slightly different from other situations in that you really don't know what the other guys can do. You haven't put them in a game yet. You haven't put them in a game yet. I mean, I find it remarkable that you have the foresight and ability as a coach to know how good these players are going to be based off of a practice that most of the time there's no contact in. Because if that was the case, you know who wouldn't be playing for your New Orleans Saints and go down as one of the greatest ever? Marcus Colston. Coach Payton brings it up all the time. Rookie minicamp, he called him a deer, a baby deer. Couldn't even stand up. Kept falling down. OTAs, little bit better. Went on to be the best receiver the Saints have had. I know I'm just using one example. Pierre Thomas, undrafted. If we're going by the practice, would we have known that he would have been the guy that pretty much every Saints fan and coaching staff would trust to run a screenplay when you needed to? I mean, if we're going to go with how flashy and how great you were the previous level, Reggie Bush would be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You have to put these kids into a game situation and see what they do. That's the only thing for me is that you don't have anything on the other guys either. You know what I mean? Like if they would have been a starter for a year or two, you would have seen a couple of games. That's great. And don't give me the Brennan stuff because I'm telling you 70-80% of the time when he came in last year, it was because Etling didn't get anything going. The offense was stagnant. Fans were booing and here you go. We're down 12. See what you can do. Is that really what you know? Right? I just, isn't it kind of your job to coach them up and develop them? You just hired another offensive coordinator. I would think to sort of work with what you have. And if at the very least, if you're telling me none of those guys are good enough, well then, man. Those signing days, and I know they went after a quarterback or two and didn't sign them, didn't get them. But, man, that should have been your priority, 100% then. Because what you're telling me is the small spring sample of work on the field solidified your idea that they're not good enough. And that's what I mean when I ask a question on the poll is, what message does it send to a team? Because to me, having played, again, not at this level, but just And speaking to players, that word and that bond you have with a coach, where coach literally and honestly says, hey, Sean Payton has it. Sean Payton has it. He's legit. Doesn't matter how you got there. If you can win on the field and you can outplay, you're going to start and you're going to play. Doesn't matter how you got to the team. Once you're on the team, it's about your work. And all I'm saying is, if you look at these guys, he hadn't started an SEC game. He hadn't even played a series. How do you know what he can do? How do you know what these guys can do? You haven't played them. It's why I said last year, Miles Brennan should have started after Alabama. He would have had three games plus a bowl game. That's weeks of practice. That's starter reps. How does he handle it? You would at least know. You don't know. There's no way you know. I get it. Now, the four things that we asked Jordan were.
All right, first thing is NBA. Oh, you want to go with the
LSU thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
LSU fans, the move to bring in Joe Burrow is what? Unfair to current QBs? Just win, baby. Send bad message to team. The more competition, the better. 46%, just win, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then 42%, the more competition, the
so
better.
So basically, LSU fans don't care. I mean, that's what it comes across. It's just, can you win? I mean, that's what it comes. And I understand it. I do get it from that perspective. At the end of the day, LSU fans, they pay the money, that have the donations for their season tickets, that do all the, they just want to go see a win. They're tired of losing to Bama. They're tired of hearing the SEC West is going to get more wins than you. I get it. I get it. Fine. Hey, okay. Well, just, if you're at that point, then just understand what that means.
Be prepared that you're going to lose this.
You're going to lose some quarterbacks, but you know, again, it's going to hurt you in recruiting. Does it hurt you in recruiting?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, does it hurt you in recruiting? Because in part of your recruiting of a player is, hey, you're going to come in, we're going to give you the opportunity to compete for your job and all that. I mean, now you have to add a comma here. Another coach in another school can go, hey, look, I'm just telling you, you may go there, let me tell you what you do. And if he doesn't like you, if they don't like you, they will bring in somebody else. Now, again, you could probably say that about anywhere. I get that. I do. That's what I'm asking you. Uptown Ruler wants to chime in, 800-998-1003. What you got, Uptown Ruler?
Hey, man, let me tell you like this. With the LSU situation, I don't know who's going to be the quarterback. I think you can be the quarterback and you'll be better than all of them. Okay. You can't play basketball. So go out there and try for quarterback.
Man, what are you
y'all let
about?
Girls beat y'all at, y'all let girls beat y'all at quarter at basketball.
Okay. This is what happened when we took on the Tulane women's basketball team. Dino let me down. Okay, I mean, he basically was LeBron in that Cavs series against the Celtics. I mean, I got nothing.
Down.
He totally let me down. He couldn't make a shot to save his life. He had no mobility. I mean, he was just out there.
That's my boy, Dino.
Yep. No, oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you should have seen it. There's video. I mean, there was no – here's a pick, set a pick. He
don't tell me
he's
playing like the Flintstones.
Yeah, he did. Like Barney Rubble.
Anyway, let me ask you this. Let me say this. The quarterback situation, I think Drew Brees is going to have his job in jeopardy this year. That quarterback, that second string, going to take over.
And that would be?
What's his name? Not Thomas, the other one. I can't think of his name, but you know who I'm talking about. The third string. The third string.
Taysom Hill?
The third string on. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Because he's in shape, and he's young, and he can run, and he can throw that ball. Okay, I think Drew Brees' job gonna be in jeopardy this year, but I think we're gonna keep Drew Brees anyway as number one in case you know he go down. But I think he's gonna make a decision between one and two, and I think number three gonna move up to number two.
It is breaking down the quarterback position battle as week one of OTAs.
And you know something else?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to beat Dallas on the same running play. I don't know why y'all don't want to play the CJ Spiller thing when the season come in. That'll break in the season good for me.
I'll have it for you the next time you call, I promise.
And can you bring it? Can you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Can you, I don't know if you can do this or not, but the quarterback for the Rams, when he completed that ball to the wide receiver down the field, and they beat Dallas back in the playoffs, what's his name? I can't think of his name, but it's been a while ago. The Rams beat the Cowboys, and he threw a pass right down the middle, and he ran it in for a touchdown.
You just want still any running touchdown every time play against the Cowboys. We'll make that happen.
Yes, you know, I'm trying to think of the wide. I'm trying to think of the wide receiver while I got you on the phone. But if I can't think of it, I'll call you back and let you know.
Sounds good. Thank you, Uptown Ruler.
All right.
There he goes.
Well, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Drew Brees is a
job on the line.
He's going to be taking a back seat.
Do me a favor. I think for all of us. Hey, Thursday, you know, because you'll be out there when Sean Payton addresses the media around 12 o'clock. We'll have it live, but
please don't make me ask.
Oh, no. You're absolutely are going to ask Coach Payton, is Drew Brees' job on the line?
I'm not.
Like those words.
Gus, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'll take a snowball from him, but I'm not asking him that.
No. You're, that's exactly, like, nice and confident.
I'm going to say, one of our listeners.
One of our listeners wants to
I'm
know.
I'm not saying that.
Wants Drew to know, is Drew Brees' job on the line?
Gus, I'll
even though
I'll
he did
quit.
Just sign 2 years, $50 million guaranteed. Is his job on the line? I want to see his face. I want to hear how he answers you.
You serious? You really want me to ask him that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for it. Let's do it.
I mean, you'll never be back again. We'll mysteriously have our allotted slots cut in half. I'm just saying. Please don't do that.
No, I'm not.
No.
No, actually, you know what?
You're not doing it.
That's a great idea.
That is a terrible idea.
If I do it, will you give me a snowball?
No. I told you. You have to go a full week with no mess-ups and maybe. Just maybe then you'll get a snowball.
What about today?
No. 800-998-1003 is the number to call if you want to chime in.
Oh, God. He's back.
I guess he remembered the receiver's name. Uptown Ruler, you got 10 seconds. Go.
Billy Waddy.
There he is.
Yeah, play that playback. And guess what? That'll remind Dallas how we beat them when we beat them the last time in Texas Stadium.
I'm with you. I'm ready to go. Soon as
I mean, I want to whoop Dallas down to the dogs, to the quarterback can't move, to the wide receiver can't catch the ball.
You have a thing against Dallas, don't you?
Oh, yes. Remember that trade they made with us? They gave us Steve Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve Walsh can throw the ball from my house to yours.
Yeah, that wasn't a good trade for the Saints.
I think Jimmy Johnson should be hung for that one, along with the Dallas Cowboys.
There he is. Again, looking forward to that game, net beating, Saints-Cowboys coming up. Thank you, Uptown Ruler, for that. You do get your music.
All right.
There it is. This should be your ringtone, by the way. You know that?
Whose ringtone?
You! This should be your ringtone.
No.
Absolutely.
Maybe yours.
Not at all. When we come back, what Cam Jordan had to say on the NFL Network, and he did not talk about Drew Brees' job being in jeopardy, I promise you. Saints OTAs start this week as well, some storylines to look forward into. Bottom of the hour, Alex Asaro. Right here as the Sports Hangover continues, it is hour one in the books. So we're in the middle, about 45 minutes left in hour two. Hour three, Cody Worsham, Dino Hansen, Marlon Favorite, Ty Graffanini. And we'll update you on the polls, a couple of other ones, including NBA fans who you got tonight, Celtics or Cavs. What we got, Boston leading right now?
No, we got the Cavs.
Cavs leading?
59%.
Man, if they tie it 2-2, can they win this series? Yeesh.
Absolutely not. They're not winning another game.
No?
No.
Hey, it's expert analysis from Jordan the intern.
No.
Not winning another game, huh?
Nope.
Is that what you just said?
Nope.
With
neither
LeBron.
Is Houston.
Really? The Cavs are not winning another game.
It's over. The king has fallen.
On that note, we'll hit the break. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. It is the Sports Hangover. Cam Jordan, good morning football. The question is, is there a sense of urgency? The Saints in 2018.
Myself, I've been in this position where it's like, you know, you 2011, you go to the playoffs, you go deep into the playoffs, you feel like you should have beat the Niners, who then go on and play the Giants, which right. that would have been a no-brainer. We beat the hell out of them in that season, so it should have gone our way, but you didn't. You know, a couple years later, we go back into the playoffs and we lose the Seahawks. So you've been to the point where it's like, hey, this is the potential make or break. Like, we have to do leaps. And previous years, I think we fell off the year after that. Now we're heading to this. I feel like I've seen the same scenario. I realize the potential we have in our defense, but there's a difference in our defense and the way that we've been growing. This is the youngest defense that I've been a part of. You know, we talk about the additions of Marcus Williams and Marshawn Lattimore. You know, guys going into the second year with Von Bell and Kenny Crawley. You talk about the whole defensive line with David Onyemata and Sheldon Rankins heading to their third year. Alex Okafor, who will be coming off of injury. But the way he started off the season, just how young this defense is. You look at somebody like me who's been in the league for 7 years going into the year eight, and I've been the oldest guy on defense for 3 or 4 years. You know, it's sort of funny when you're like year four, but you're like the vet on the team. You just look around like... How am I don't know how to lead just yet.
But you know the talent is going to be there.
Exactly.
So I kind of like what he had to say, too, and it makes sense, right? I mean, a lot of belief is that this team is going to continue to improve, and a lot of it has to do, of course, with what these young players can sort of accomplish and do for this team. And, look, I think at the end of the day, that's why I look at some of the practices here, whether it's OTAs and minicamp, that we're going to be able to see more than anything. It's going to be fun to sort of look at and see where some of these battles will kind of come up from, how much deeper they are. That linebacking situation, you heard Cam Jordan, you know, touch on the get Alex Okafor back as well, A.J. Klein. I mean, they had a lot of injuries to some key players on defense. Another segment that they had, it was right after they were talking about the sense of urgency, and we've touched on it too, is the schedule. Like some of the opponents that this team's going to be playing against this year. And they're not easy. They're not easy. And, of course, some of the matchups, including the Vikings coming up, had a little fun kind of discussing that.
Fight.
That your pops played for.
No doubt.
Now, what's your mindset after what happened last season this year and what's going to happen this season?
Are you talking about revenge?
Revenge, yeah. It's French.
There's a little thing called that.
Yeah, I don't know if it can be. You know, the 2 times that we played the Vikings, there's 2 different quarterbacks at helm. You know, and so going into this third year, now we're playing Kirk Cousins, who we beat last year, but now is under new helm. Yeah, they don't even have the same running back. We've played...
Three different versions.
That's what I'm saying. We've played 3 different versions of the team. They are not the same team that we'll face this upcoming year. So, really, as far as I go, as far as, you know, speaking for our defense, we'll be focused on, you know, hell. Thielen wasn't a name like that until last year. He came up and had a monster year. So, this will be the third version. This is just another team for us. We'll be focused on, you know, week one when we go play Tampa. And then I can even give you week two. I think we played the revamped. Browns.
Revamp.
By then, like,
they come to your house.
It's going to be awkward because you have, Tyrod Taylor, who's a hell of a quarterback, who, you know, is a monster when he's got the ball in his hands.
But they got Baker Mayfield waiting.
And then, then they got Baker Mayfield, who you just traded, you know. And then made him a number one overall pick. So now you've got pressure everywhere. So you know what they want to do. And you sit there like, but Tyrod's cold. So then, of course, you know, you talk about the draft picks. Now you're looking for Myles Garrett to evolve. You know, they had, what, Jabril Peppers and then the tight end.
Njoku.
I'm glad you said that.
It's going to be no easy game.
I'm just saying they've revamped so many times. At this point, you know, it looks like they're strong.
Right, you got to respect them.
Great. So I just heard a loss against the Cleveland Browns. Is that what I just heard?
That's what I heard.
No, I mean, but again, those two is pointed. It's interesting because everyone's trying to look at these games when you take a look at the schedule, and it is difficult. It's difficult because you don't know our team's going to be, look at it from this perspective. In April, when teams are looking at their schedule and the Saints are on there, boy, that dynamic running back duo of Ingram and Ingram's gone 4 games, right? You just sort of wonder how Atlanta, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, some of the teams in the early games that are going to be, you know, facing the Saints are now probably thinking of the Saints a little bit differently because no Mark Ingram. So you just don't know what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. OTAs, mini camps. Also, of course, the fact that you don't know the dreaded injury bugs going to hit everybody at some point in time. Could be key players, could be guys you're seeing getting to battles, young guys. You just never know what's going to happen there. So, look, I'm excited. And we'll touch a little bit more about this as we get closer to Thursday. But Thursday is our first day to go check out OTAs. OTA week number one starts tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's practice. It's as close to a training camp practice as you can get. It's legit. And, again, looking forward to it. I mean, practice, you know, it's close to 2 hours. It's 2:40 to 12:10, so it's close. And this is everybody. This is the new faces, the rookies, the vets, everything that goes out there. And it is interesting to sort of, because you kind of heard that first bite with Cam Jordan, too, just talking about whether it's the pressure that Cleveland has, but also getting back to the season and him saying, hey, look, we've been in this situation before, especially for him, where things look like it's going in the right direction. Like, there is hope for things to go there, but it's not promised. You heard Sean Payton hit that a lot last year. You heard Drew Brees talk about it a lot last year. What makes it harder when you lose the further you go, when you lose that game to Minnesota, is yes, everyone's going, ooh, can't wait for next year. Next year, guys will be healthier. Next year, Lattimore's going to be great. Next year is another year on Thomas. Wait to see Kamara. You don't know. You just don't know. Other teams can be good and better. Other teams cannot be getting better. Now, I don't anticipate, right? And just kind of look at some of the players, who they are. You can probably look at it and go, I don't see sophomore slumps from some of the rookies from last year. Do you? I don't. Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com, actually put out a list of potential guys that have breakout seasons. Marcus Williams for the Saints. You can sort of see that. So, again, to what you heard Cam Jordan saying that first bite that we played of him saying, hey, look, this is a young defense. You can see the potential of them continuing to grow and still be a strength in this team. You added strength on offense. I really honestly believe that you helped out that room. I mean, I'm seeing stories this week on Deion Yelder could be one of the breakout guys. Let's see. You know, if you could find that tight end and it's him. So, again, as I mentioned, I don't think the Ingram blow is going to be nearly as big as it would have been perhaps last year. I think it's a blow, but it's not a big blow. And the only reason I say is because you brought in Cameron and Meredith. You drafted Tre'Quan Smith. That's two receivers there. Imagine they get at least two touches a game. You know, Thomas, of course you want to get him the ball. Kamara, you want to get him the ball. That's six if they just get two apiece. Eight, rather. So, you know, whatever you would have given to Mark, I still think you can find it. We hadn't even got to the tight end. I forgot Ben Watson or Deion Yelder. Give him two touches. So that's anywhere between 8 to 12, you can argue, that you can still spread to other players. So that's why I don't think it's that big a blow. It'll be interesting. But again, it starts tomorrow. Tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. We get to view Thursday's practice. So we'll have that. Head coach Sean Payton, let's see, scheduled to speak at 12:10. So right when we come on the air, we'll set things up. We'll hit the break, and boom, we'll let you hear Coach Payton live. What he has to say after a practice. Jordan will be out there. Obviously, I'll be here starting it, starting the show. But open locker rooms there as well. So we'll break down what we sort of saw in the early portions of practice. And then, again, just to see where we are. Got 3 weeks of OTAs, mini camp, and then boom. 6 weeks until training camp. It's right around the corner. It was weird in a Saints locker room. What, last Saturday was 89 days. They had the Jaguars logo, 89 days to kick off a countdown. Wow. Crazy. Yeah. So you're at, what, 77? 77 days to kick off the preseason opener. Quick break. We come back. Alex Asaro, he hosts the podcast Neutral Grounders. We're going to talk a little college baseball from in and around the area as well. We already spoke with Bryant Johnson. Todd Graffanini at 2:45. Cody Worsham at 2:15. We'll touch Tigers, Billy Cannon, Joe Burrow, and, of course, the Tiger baseball team playing Mississippi State tomorrow as they lost at Auburn this weekend. Hard to believe. They have not won a season series in the SEC at all this year. and it's done, the regular season. Quick break. You're listening to The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Here's one of the best photographers in the city. Put a series of pictures that are real interesting to see from the Saints golf tournament going on right now, the Hall of Fame golf tournament over at City Park. And it's Coach Payton teaching Alvin Kamara how to swing it. Just, there he is, just coaching. There he is. Pretty cool. Got to look at it. Let's talk a little college baseball. Alex Asaro joins us as he has throughout the season as well. At Alex Asaro 3 is the way to follow over on Twitter. Alex, how are you this afternoon, man?
Hey, what's happening, Gus?
Doing well. Neutral Grounders, the podcast, by the way, if you want to catch it each and every week. Alex, a little different going into all the different conference tournaments this year around from a year ago, where teams, more than a handful and some names, Alex, have to win their conference tournament if they want to go play postseason baseball.
Oh, it's just about every single one of them. Last year at this time, we were talking about how LSU basically locked up a host seed, at least top 16, maybe not top 8. That seemed to be a done deal last year, whereas this year it seems as if though LSU's barely got a chance to get in. And then on the other hand, you also have SLU, UL Lafayette, UNO. Everybody basically has to win the tournament in order to get themselves in. So, you know, there's always those bubble teams and RPI rankings at the end of the year, but it's looking really tough for a lot of teams here in Louisiana, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's nuts when you think about all the different areas they need to. Let's start with the Tigers. So they play Mississippi State tomorrow, and they lose the series to Auburn, and in the games that they lost, 11-4, 14-5, kind of a snapshot, really, what kind of plagued them, especially on the road. Isn't it incredible to think that they go an entire season and not only didn't win SEC series, but in many of those, they weren't pretty?
And I think the biggest thing that you look at is the glaring road record against the SEC opponent. LSU just was unable to win anywhere outside of Alex Box Stadium. And it's showing. You know, their RPI is about where they should be, just on that bubble area. You know, I feel like the committee always gives a great nod to the SEC. There always seems to be about, I don't know, 11 teams or nine to 11 teams that get in every year. And, you know, LSU might be like Ole Miss and Missouri from last year, where maybe you do have a solid, you know, 30-plus win season, and you do sit around 500, you know, maybe below or above in SEC play, but at the end of the day, you have, you know, these mid-major teams that get automatic qualifiers. The tournament plays a big part in this. And, you know, you see it with college basketball at the same time, but with college baseball, it's even more intricate. You know, there's so much power in the SEC, but you got to give the automatic qualifiers a big part of it. So LSU might be, you know, not only do they have to win this week, Mississippi State's going to be a big game, but if they can get past that, you've got Florida afterwards. So, I mean, along with winning, these guys have got to do a lot of screen watching at the same time, making sure other bubble teams are getting tripped up in their conference tournament.
Alex, flat out, does LSU have to win 2-3 games to get in the postseason play, or are they in right now?
I don't know. They're not in right now. I think last week when you and I were on, or 2 weeks ago when we were on, I said it was done deal, but I guess maybe I was high off the Arkansas series that they had won, but that was at home. But I think if they won their series against Auburn, I think they'd be sitting pretty and they could win one game and be fine. But I think at this point in time, you have to beat Mississippi State. If you're one and out in the SEC tournament, you're not doing yourself any favors, because many of those bubble teams are the teams like Mississippi State, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Missouri. All these teams want to get in, and those are the teams that they're going to be playing against. So I think realistically, Tiger fans should want a win against Mississippi State, and I think if LSU muscles out a win against Florida in the second round, I think that's enough to put LSU in. But other than two wins in the tournament, I think that Tigers might just be on the outside looking in. It's hard to think that with as competitive as they've been in the SEC. But, you know, based on some of the things I was saying earlier, there's so many factors in play here that it's hard to say that LSU's definitely, you know, locked in like they were last year. They're not playing with house money at this point. They got to go all in, and they got to get the win.
It's crazy when you think about it. For the Tulane Green Wave, it's obviously, after sort of win in there as well. You think they can make some noise, or is having to face Houston tomorrow kind of a difficult thing there?
That is a big one. I think 3 years ago we'd be excited with this Tulane Houston matchup, but this year has spelled a different story for the Green Wave. Just inconsistent. There's been times where they look great, but Houston is rocking and rolling. This might be a regional host team, one of the best in the AAC. Tulane has to win their tournament, and if they were to do that, they would have to beat Houston in the first round, and probably in the second round have to face ECU or UCF. It would be to hell and back for Tulane to pull that off. Not saying it's not impossible, but it's not looking very promising for the Green Wave. So, I think a few weeks ago I had said that I think the Memphis series was going to be the last hurrah for the Green Wave because of the series that they had plus the tournament this week. But Green Wave fans can just on a wing and a prayer for this week coming up.
It's crazy when you look at the Southland Conference tournament there. UNO, Nichols, what they had to do getting that sweep there. Then, of course, Southeastern, they pretty much have to win as well. Yeah, those three teams right off the top have to win the Southland Conference tournament, including Southeastern.
I know, and this is the one that bothers me the most. Southeastern with 36 wins this season, basically dominated the Southland Conference. Put manhandling on Sam Houston State, who actually won the Southland Conference regular season title. Got the series win over them, but still finished three games behind as Sam Houston finished with a sweep of Incarnate Word last weekend. So that didn't help the Lions at all. But it's almost as if SOU can root for UNO, because in the first round of the Southland Conference play, SOU, of course, takes on Nichols State, but at the same time, UNO will be taking on Sam Houston State. And I think that is who Southeastern kind of has to watch. You know, they have to take care of business on their own terms in the first round with Nichols. But at the same time, they need Sam Houston to fall out. Because if Sam Houston wins regular season and the conference tournament, they're on the outside looking in. But this is probably the biggest team that I'd be disappointed not to see in the postseason.
Right.
Just based on what they've done in conference play. And, the RPI is just not there. Matt Raja usually does a great job of setting the schedule, play real great opponents outside of the conference. And this year, other than a few wins over LSU and Mississippi State and USM, haven't really made as much noise as they normally do in non-conference play. So this is going to be a big one. The Lions will definitely be calling on the privateers to do them a favor in that first round.
Two quick final things with Alex here, host of the Neutral Grounders podcast. Is Louisiana Tech the only team that looks like right now is in, or do they have to make some noise in the Conference USA tournament?
I think that LA Tech is they're right on that bubble, too. I think LA Tech and UL Lafayette are also two fun ones to kind of keep an eye on. And they're going to be, because they're not in the power conferences that are the SEC or the Big 12, they're kind of, and they're above those mid-majors of Southland and AAC, it's hard to say that any of these guys are in, which is sad because I've built this podcast based on the idea that there's so much power in Louisiana baseball territory.
Alex, normally we're looking at five, possibly six contending for one, and it's nuts that we're sitting here the week of the conference tournaments, and we're literally going, Louisiana could be shut out.
Right. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre. I think UL Lafayette, actually, with the noise they've made late in the season,
right,
they're actually sitting at the two seed in the Sun Belt Conference. So you might see them squeak their way in, whereas the Bulldogs have had a good RPI this season, and that might carry them. It's going to come right down to it. This week is going to be a lot of me on my computer watching 30 different games in different conferences. I'd love to be over in Sugar Land to watch that Southland Conference. I think that one's going to be the best one this weekend. But yeah, like you said, it's going to come right down to it. I have a. It's hard to believe that not one of these Louisiana teams is going to make it in. If I had to pick one that I think is going to make the tournament and make the most of it, I think it's Southeastern. I think that they played well off season. Mm-hmm. I think that just the fact that where they're at the end of the conference standings, because Sam Houston State has just been a powerhouse this year. Obviously, Southeastern and Sam Houston State would meet each other in the championship. So I think if there's someone that can go streaking into the tournament, I think it's the Lions. They probably have the best chance of making it in there.
At Alex Asaro 3 is the way to follow Alex over on Twitter. Neutral Grounders is the podcast. As always, man, we appreciate your time. And hopefully we talk next week. Alex, we'll be talking about some teams in postseason play. If not, that definitely will be a story of maybe the state being shut out. So we'll chat then, man.
Depressing thought.
Take care, bud. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll come back quickly. Mr. Charlie Ricks, I'm going to play. I have the Preakness. I have the final call. It wasn't nearly as big a wide a margin of victory that Justify had as the Kentucky Derby. Can we see a Triple Crown winner? It's interesting. Despite having two jewels under his belt, not feeling a lot of people feeling very confident about Justify. Why and why so? We'll touch a little on that, plus give you a quick preview of NOAA Golf Academy coming up later this evening. Don't forget hour three, jam-packed. Considering a lot of the different topics we're going to talk about here, Marlon Favorite, 205. We'll talk about the LSU situation there with Joe Burrow. Cody Worsham. We'll touch with Joe Burrow and also Billy Cannon's passing at the age of 80 yesterday. Dino Hansen, 230 to Eastern Conference, Western Conference playoffs. No close games just yet. And Todd Graffanini at 245, his take on Tulane. We'll do all that and more on ESPN New Orleans.
Then on the inside is Lone Sailor. So they make their way into the turn. Good magic on the inside of Justify. The two of them are right together, and they've run three quarters of a mile in 1 minute 11.42 seconds as they round the far turn in the fog at Pimlico. And good magic on the inside's got a head in front. Mike Smith goes to a ride on Justify. They are nose to nose. Justify now sticks a neck in front. He's going to try to put away good magic. And they're into the stretch. And Mike Smith goes to the whip on Justify. Tenfold is closing in with Bravazzo on the outside as the field comes into the final furlong. It is Justify in front. Good magic on the outside. Tenfold. Bravazzo. Justify. He's unstoppable. He won the Preakness. Bravazzo was second. Tenfold was third.
And there it is, dude. I loved watching it. I thought it was a great race. For starters, Charlie Riggs joins us, host of the NOAA Golf Academy, and of course, horse racing as well with our Louisiana Derby coverage that we do every single year. I thought what you liked about Justify, you sort of saw there, his strength. He held off good magic, which was one of the horses we talked about in the Derby. You texted me earlier and said you liked Bravazzo. He was coming on another 5-10 feet. He probably gets him there. Look, it's not supposed to be easy. But I watched that race, and I just get a sense and feeling people aren't sold that this is a Triple Crown winner just yet. Why?
Bravazzo, listen, there's three legs to this Triple Crown. Mm-hmm. And the third one is always the toughest one to win if you won the first two because there's a bigger field. It's a mile and a half. None of them have ever gone that far. If you remember Friday, Joe Christofek on the phone.
Uh-huh.
I asked him the question about Dwayne Lucas having two horses in this race. Mm-hmm. And I said, could you see coming down the stretch, Bravazzo coming on to pick up the pieces and maybe get there? That was my pick. I think I even texted
you.
I was on Bravazzo and everybody else
he
was throwing him out.
In the last 5 feet.
Raphael threw him out.
Yeah.
And I liked him because of Dwayne Lucas. He's won that Preakness six times. He had two horses in that race. Bravazzo had a great Kentucky Derby trip,
mm-hmm.
finished sixth there. He ran a clunker in the Louisiana Derby, but I threw that race out. If you saw the video watching it live, Bravazzo wasn't even in the picture.
No.
And even near the finish, they did a close up on Justify, and you still couldn't see Bravazzo. The reason for that, he was five wide coming down that stretch.
Wow.
Bravazzo probably ran another quarter of a furlong or a half longer than Justify. That was Bravazzo. I had him pegged to win that race.
Another 2 seconds, Charlie. He passes Justify.
Two steps, two lunges.
Yeah.
And Bravazzo, was he, 12, 13 to 1,
yeah.
would have won that race. But you have to give it to Mike Smith. When he turned to the top of the stretch, he put good magic away. He hit a passing gear, mm-hmm. and I think he showed right there that not only does he have – he's quick of foot and has tactical speed, but he has just another gear that good magic doesn't
and
have.
And he got challenged there. I mean, there was a horse on either side there. You sort of saw it. And Charlie, what's crazy is watching that race, too. I mean, it was – there's that – when I think of the muck – that was the one you couldn't see.
The place was a mess.
Fog. I mean, it was
fog.
So, again, that's what I'm looking at. But what does that tell me about Justify then? I mean, because both tracks have not been faster, cleaner thing, yet he's shown strength. He showed speed. So if the Belmont, it's not raining, I have to say
here's what it tells me about Justify. It tells me that Justify is like American Pharoah, who was the most recent Triple Crown winner in 2015, in that he has the speed, has the stamina. You need both of those to win. When American Pharoah won the Preakness, it was an off track. It was sloppy. And they thought he would take back and just see where the pace went and just make his run. But American Pharoah went right to the lead when he won that Preakness and just went wire to wire. So, yeah, I see a lot of similarities in these two horses. And Justify is a big horse.
You keep mentioning his size and how his size can sort of
horse.
I was watching with a little trepidation because of that story that came out on Wednesday about maybe there was a possible injury. I mean, there was a patch on there and everything. Did you see anything, replays, or just and anything written since then that makes you think that he didn't look injured there at all? And in a slop like that, if you're not right? I mean, it would have – you could have re-hurt
it. Listen, he was galloping around that track for a week and prepping for this race. Everybody got to see the movement of that horse.
That
if he had one – just one thing out of sync in his stride, everybody would have – there's too many experts out there watching.
Keeping an eye out.
And the horse is too valuable. You don't take a Kentucky Derby winner and risk his stud fees.
You brought that up exactly right.
For millions of dollars. But 3 weeks – we'll see.
The Belmont. That's what I was going to say, because it was two Derby to Preakness, right?
Yeah.
And this is one extra week. Can that hurt or help Justify?
No, that's got to help them. But it's also helping the other horses that didn't go into the Preakness. My boy Jack, we may see him run in the Preakness, comes from out of the clouds. So hopefully we have a bigger field in the Belmont than we had in the Preakness. But we'll see some new shooters. I don't expect Lone Sailor, the Gail Benson-owned horse, to go in the Belmont. I just don't – I think it's too much too soon. And I think what they saw, if anything, if he was going to make a very gallant closing move, it was going to be in the Preakness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if – maybe he's not liking that track as much. I don't see him going. I don't see good magic coming back at all for the Belmont. So it's going to be an interesting field. We might have 10 horses, 14 horses. But we said on Friday it's Justify's Triple Crown to lose – and right now, he looks...
It's so exciting. I mean, I'm going to be a mess and through it. I love, because, again, it's the chance to watch history. And it's just thrilling when you look at it. It really is.
It's going to be fun. And it's going to be interesting to see what the field looks like.
Gola Golf Academy coming up 6 to 8 o'clock tonight. Afterwards, you can catch the Eastern Conference Finals game number 4. Charlie, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter today. Tiger Woods steps up to the range and had a little challenge. You know who, was it Troy Mullins? Is that it is? So, Troy Mullins.
The long driver?
Yes, long drive champ.
Yeah.
Tiger Woods challenged him. And this is him. This is what it sounds like, Joy, when I address the ball here. See, I just used a golf term. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Here it is. He addresses it, the backswing.
Oh! Firecracker.
Oh,
gunshot.
Yeah, we're going to use that one.
I'll use that.
Wait, here it is.
And he's gone.
Drop the mic.
Tiger walking off. He just walks off. He just stepped up, drove it, and just walked off on that. I just wanted to play that so you could hear it because it gives you an idea because you don't have the crowd and all that. But just what that sound like over 400 yards.
A gunshot.
I mean, he cracked the heck out of it, man.
Well, I'm excited. Tiger Woods, by the way.
That's a good sign, though, right? Because that means the back is right and for him to bomb it like that.
I don't think you'll see him challenging any long driver at this stage of his career. Plus, they use different equipment. They have the driver is maybe 2-3 inches longer than a standard driver. It's a whole different contest.
We're getting closer to the next major.
Getting closer. And Tiger Woods, a week ago, was not going to play until the U.S. Open, but then he committed to playing Jack Nicklaus's golf tournament, the Memorial.
Right.
I'm so glad to see him playing this golf tournament with Jack Nicklaus Memorial. It's right before the U.S. Open. Because he's won there 3 times. It's his kind of golf course. If Tiger Woods is going to finally convince us that his game is totally back, the Memorial will be the golf course that will see that. So I'm glad. And plus, I want to see him get another tune-up. Right. I'd love to see him in the U.S. Open. You can hear it in my voice.
Yeah, so I wanted to play that. And, of course, you'll be talking about that tonight over at golf.
Tonight with swing coach Robert Emmett, Stephen Calamari, live from the Golf Tech Center in Metairie. We're going to talk golf for 2 hours, man. It's always
six
fun.
Six to eight. No, always fun. Again, you heard that. That's what it sounds like when I hit. Or not.
Exactly.
Thank you, Charlie.
All right.
Appreciate it. Hour 3 coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. I'm in-